Let's open our Bibles tonight. We'll open to the fourth chapter of Galatians. And if you can imagine, it even becomes more glorious. But see, that's just who he is. See, there's no end, brothers and sisters, to the beauty that we are justified by faith. It gets better all the time. The way of faith and love only becomes more glorious within. I thank God for this line upon line love letter that he opens to us. And as we read each and every precept upon precept, we see that the passion, the intensity only grows. And again, that is the heart of the lover. I believe that we're getting into the depths of his plan, his provision, and praise God, the power. And all of it awaits us in his marvelous grace. Praise the Lord. Now let's begin reading the fourth chapter. We'll read the first seven verses. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise the Lord. That's pretty exciting. Even on the surface. Hallelujah. And Lord, yea, the deep things by your Spirit this evening. Now, as we begin this, let's remember that grace came first. Amen? Amen. We know this. Grace came first before the law. The covenant given to Abraham was pure grace. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then, 430 years later, the law was given to Moses. And the reason the law was given to Moses was because Israel did not want grace. They wanted to merit favor with God by their own works. And you'll read that in Exodus 19. But God makes it even further known to us, because we're even under a better thing, but oh, how he sweetly, sweetly impresses this upon us. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's go ahead and read from verse 9 together. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1. Knowing this, see, God expects us to know this. This isn't something we guess about. This isn't something we have to go think or contemplate. This is the word of God, and know it. Know this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who is before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I love this. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You'll never wrap your head around that one. It's going to have to be your heart. You're going to have to believe God how he does it. That's called grace. He didn't have to figure it out. Lord, I believe. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It's just marvelous, isn't it? Praise his name. And then he gave it to them. He gave them this law. And we've been rejoicing in Romans 5:20, and I want to rejoice in it again. So let's turn over to Romans 5:20. And this is again why he gave us the law. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. I love that. It's so wonderful. He didn't give us the law, the Ten Commandments, for a moral compass, trying to get us all to behave. He gave us the law to show us how unruly and how sin just abounds in us. That's what we do. But for God, and hallelujah, as it says here, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ our Lord. I just am so thankful to the Lord. He didn't ask me to try to do anything. He just said, believe, son, in my grace, and it will be the power, praise the Lord, for me to live in you, and even if you'll grow in it, to reign in you. Hallelujah for this wonderful grace. But we see, brothers and sisters, that Israel's disobedience here did not catch God unaware. It wasn't like, well, see, they did that, so now I have to do this. No, 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 no. God knew what exactly was going to happen. This was all part of the plan of redemption in ages past for us in Christ. Hebrews 2:10 tells us to bring many sons to glory. Grace came down. Great grace, brothers and sisters. And as we read here earlier, he had to be born a man. God manifest in the flesh. And God, praise God, manifest in the flesh to redeem those who were under the law. And the only way he was going to redeem those who were under the law is he had to take their place. Amen? See, he showed us that sin was just going to abound as that law was given out. So he had to take our place and fulfill the law and become sin for us who knew no sin and die that death upon the cross, praise the Lord, and rise from the dead and ascend, praise God, into heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. What a precious, precious story. Now you talk about high maintenance people. That's all I could think about. We're a bunch of high maintenance people. For God to send a son to do that. But see, that's what he had in mind all along. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Amen? Love. Not duty. Love. Absolute love. Hallelujah. He's so loved to save us. Let's turn to Acts 13. And in Acts 13, we'll begin reading from the 38th verse. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Did you hear that? And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the bottom line is we had to be freed from the law before we could be free from sin. And since we're continuing to turn through this precious word, let's go over to Romans 8 and read verse 2 in Romans 8. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's that Spirit that's come to live in us. And then in Romans 10:4, and boy, you talk about a 10:4 over and out. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Do you believe? Praise be to God, that law has been done away. You are free and free indeed. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How could we not read the Word of God together? This is what it's about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Get it? In him. In him. In him. Hallelujah for Jesus Christ. Now, here we are, brothers and sisters. We're children of the King. And as we've read in this, we're heirs and heirs of God. And hallelujah that we're heirs of God. But as we well know, and as it states very clearly in how we've read this, even in earthly royal families, a child, though an heir, differs nothing from a servant in what he knows. See, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't understand what he's born into as a child. And what we're talking about here are the privileges, the inheritance, the wealth, and even the responsibility, brothers and sisters. None of this phases him because he is just a child. And God here, because he's the exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think God, is pressing for even more because he adds here, though he be Lord of all. I love that Lord of all. That Lord of all is only spoken two times in the Word of God, and it is here, and it is also in Acts chapter, let's see here, I had it. Acts chapter 10, verse 36, Jesus Christ, Lord of all. What he's getting at here, brothers and sisters, is this is his life. His life given to us, praise God, puts us in that place. We are not like him. We are not as him. We are in him. He is in us. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that I enjoy the same privileges with the Father. I enjoy the same privileges in the throne room, the intimacy with the Father, the fellowship with the Father, not because of anything that I did. That would throw me right out of there. But praise be to God, it's because the life that liveth in me. Praise God. I'll tell you, God help us to get this and we'll grow in it because it's the grace. See, this is the genetic royal DNA. This is his birthright. It is all here. As the Word of God tells us, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There's no way you could earn that. There's no way that you could buy that. It had to be given. It was the greatest wonderful gift of grace, the life of Jesus Christ. And everything that goes with it, everything, if we will take it, if we will believe it, we have been blessed with all of it. But it does us no good, brothers and sisters, unless we grow up into the knowledge of it. Amen? Amen. Now come on. Christ liveth in me. Now by grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's put us in that place. Hallelujah. In him. We'll get to it a little bit later here. Now, brothers and sisters, the theme of this word, as we know, and especially Paul's gospel, is grow up. And it's to grow up into Christ in all things, the Word of God tells us. Now, that's speaking of mature sons of God. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading from verse 12. Now, we're just coming out of the gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And here we come to this 12th verse of the 4th chapter. For the perfecting of the saints. Think of that. That's the maturing. See, we understand, and I pray we really believe, that we're justified, just as if we never sinned. Complete, praise the Lord. We've been blessed with everything. But here we go on to more maturing here. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Listen to what God is after. You talk about being filled with all the fullness of God. Living all his perfect and complete will. We know that that's absolutely unattainable by me, but praise be to God, it's all right there for Christ in me. Listen, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that means fully grown, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you're still sitting and quiet. How could we be? Come on now. I know we're just absorbing it. We're stunned with the love letter. Sometimes when you see such beauty, you can't say anything but drop your jaw. That we henceforth be no more children. See, listen to this. That we don't be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Had a lady that was at that funeral, and my heart just went out to her. But thanks be to God how the Lord used that nonsense to spark her heart to attend to the things spoken by Paul. And that's what was going on Monday, just like it's going on tonight. They're trying to hit her up for $35,000 to annul a marriage. She said, that just doesn't sound right. I said, that sounds expensive. It's insane. It's chaos. That's exactly what the enemy does. It's amazing. The audacity. I've stopped that nonsense. But speaking truth in love, may we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Want to stay with truth and love? Praise the Lord. The word of his grace, able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Man, praise God. Hallelujah, to just stay with the stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read more about this. We don't need to be like children. God's called us to grow up. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Look at this. These are brothers in the Lord. But I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You see why God by his grace is impressed upon us more and more all the time, that our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. We need to settle down and dwell together. Hallelujah. You talk about the unity. Settling down in marriage, praise God, abiding as his readied wife. Amazing stuff that he's called us into. Brothers and sisters, from glory to glory into his very image. That's what's in the offering. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he does this line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, going back to our text, we see here that the child must learn. The child must grow up. He's been given these teachers until this appointed time. Now, we read last week that the schoolmaster, the law, was given. And what a schoolmaster showed us the need for grace. Praise God. See, the Lord knows what he's doing. See, and now there's coming an appointed time that the father sees that the child has grown up. And praise the Lord, grown up maybe even to the place where the measure and the stature is evident. And I can honestly testify that there's nothing greater desire in a father's heart than to see their sons grow into their full potential. And how much more our Heavenly Father. He's just waiting. He's yearning. Take, receive, and grow. How wonderful. Sons prepared afore unto glory, and they grow up. And you think about this teacher that was back then, this law, this schoolmaster. And praise be to God, showing them the need for grace. And then you think about the tremendous better thing that we have, the exceeding great and precious promises that we have. And you think about our teacher that God has graced us with, that Jesus Christ so sweetly ascended up on high. If I don't go, I can't send him to you. We have a moment. Let's turn to John 14 together. John chapter 14, and Jesus said, I pray the Father. This is him speaking to these precious disciples. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. Jumping over to the 26th verse, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now you think of the things that Jesus Christ has said unto us, brothers and sisters, and I'll have him bring all things to your remembrance. And he shall teach you all things. What else are you looking for? What else do you want? Well, if that wasn't enough, turn over to chapter 16. Jesus said in the 12th verse, I have yet many things to say unto you. Now again, these guys have been with him for 3.5 years. This John had set his head upon the breast, heard the heartbeat of his Savior. They were looking and waiting for every word. But listen to what he says. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I'm telling you, we're set. We're fully supplied. If we will just sit at the precious feet of Jesus and just quit running around and trying to do and to figure it out and let God do it, let me tell you something. He'll fill you with all the fullness of God. That's his plan. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he does. That's just who he is. And thanks be to God, he happens to be very God, a very God. Well, Paul here is making it known that Israel was under the law. But you see, if we Gentiles are living under the law, it's because we put ourselves there. Do you know that? It's the truth. See, the law was given to Israel, and for that point, to show them that they need grace, because they were a stiff-necked people. And we're a stiff-necked people if we think we have to put ourselves under the law. And listen to what our text is saying. Furthermore, if what we are doing is returning back to put ourselves under the law, then we're living as a child in the kingdom. And we enjoy no more living than that of a servant. But somehow, some way, the enemy dupes us into thinking, oh, that just feels so good. I feel so satisfied in flesh. Let's call it what it is. When I'm living as a servant. You know, most churches, if I preach that, they'd throw me right out. And I'm sad for that, but I'm thankful to God that I'm here to preach the gospel. All right, now stay with me. Is it any wonder, brothers and sisters, why the innumerable multitude, in Revelation chapter 7, has palms in their hands? They're waving palms. That's the innumerable multitude. So many Christians, you couldn't even number them. But the four living ones are residing and thankful and glorying in the midst of the throne. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Well, servants here, servants there. True worshipers here, the bride, the Lamb's wife over there. That's what I read, because that's God's word. Now, we have to get a vision of this, brothers and sisters, if really we're going to reside over yonder someday in the midst of the throne. We are sons of God. We're sons of God. Christ's redemptive power didn't just save us. It didn't just cleanse us. His death made us sons. Sons. It just, I believe God's going to expand on this if he tarry for Sunday morning. Partakers of his divine nature. Accepted in the beloved. Set apart to God. Sanctified. Seated with Christ in the heavens. Brothers and sisters, we have that complete spiritual DNA. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We are partakers of his divine nature. We are accepted in the beloved. See, I'm not accepted as the beloved. I'm not accepted with the beloved. There's not two. There's one. In Christ. It's so beautiful. It's so wondrous. The oneness is beyond conception. But it's the reality of it all in Christ. Now, if we'll receive that by grace, I'm going to tell you something. We will grow up and be ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. Just as Abraham did. God told him, that's yours. Amen? Did Abraham ask why? You know what Abraham said? Thank you. You know how you tell God thank you? Believe him. Abraham was basically in an idol shop. And God saw him. And God called him. God chose him. And God told him what he was going to do. And Abraham believed God. He said thank you. He didn't ask why. He said, thank you. Now, brothers and sisters, it's the same for us. Except we have a better thing. And without us, even in Hebrews 11:40, it says, without us, they cannot be made perfect. After it goes through all the list of the worthies in the Old Testament. And yet we have a better thing. Exceeding great and precious promises. It's yours. Are you going to quit asking why? And how about just start saying thank you? Thank you. That's how you believe the word of God. He told you this. His promises are true. They're yea and amen. He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe I'm with a group of brothers and sisters in Christ that give him thankfulness in all things. And thankfulness for all things. That's believing God. And what are you thanking him for? Your food, your house? Well, wonderful, that's great. How about thanking him for the word of God? How about thanking him for the promises of God? How about thanking him? We live in a world where it's honorable to come up through the ranks. We live in a world that says we have to pay our dues and earn your keep. But with God, it does not work that way. It couldn't work that way because you couldn't earn it. You couldn't live enough lifetimes to ever deserve it. It had to be given. Exceeding great. That means exceeding, abundant, above, beyond, exceeding, and keep multiplying that out into eternity. It had to be given. By God's grace, we had to be born in it. And by being born in it, we were born with it. And all I could think is, Lord, help me get it. It's in me. It's in you. Christ in us. That is who we are, us in Christ. As the Lord had me meditating upon this, I praise the Lord. He gave me a personal example of this growing up under my mom and dad. My dad made a pretty good living, and he owned his own home and a couple rental properties. And from time to time, us kids, and I can speak of my own, myself personally, would go out and maybe cut a lawn or paint one of the rooms or do something like that. But Dad's emphasis to us always was not to be a servant. It wasn't going to be that way, even in the natural. It wasn't to be a servant, but it was to learn. It was to be educated, to enjoy the further privileges that might come with working with my mind, inheriting the things that I would inherit from him and invest them that they would grow even further. Stay with me. Now, some would look at my life and they would say, well, you're privileged. Yes, I was privileged. Some would look at my life and think, well, he's not taking care of that and he should be working on that, and maybe thought that I was lazy. Well, maybe I'd beg to differ. But my dad had a vision for me, and it wasn't as a servant. It wasn't. That was just how I was born. That's just who my father was. Now I'm going to tell you who our father is. And I'm going to tell you how it is. You weren't born a servant. You weren't. You were born to reign. Christ died on the cross for you to reign and to rule with him. That pierced side with him upon that cross was the greatest type of the bridal rib that would suffer with him. Now, come on. Let me tell you something. He'll use you as an ox too. He will. But you'll never be the ox that you could be if you don't learn to embrace the grace to reign. It's the truth. He's even so perfect that I believe Matthew the king comes before Mark the ox. He's got it covered in so many ways that you can't dispute it. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, if we will embrace the grace of God, we'll even grow up to be a vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. That's the definition of a vessel, in case you didn't know. Most people go, really? Live it. Let God do it in his grace. Now, all I can say to us is to quit of our own self-righteousness. It really is the truth. It's stinky. It's not becoming. And matter of fact, it has nothing to do with growing up in Christ, does it? We need to start pleasing God. And how do we please him? By faith. To grow up and believe his precious promises. To believe them so that we would grow up into Christ in all things. See, thanks be to God that he lived this wonderful life, our Lamb of God. And he was always obedient to the Father. I'm not trying to be like him. I can't. I got something better. He lives in me. And I can have confidence that that life of Jesus Christ can have faith. I can have confidence that that life that lives in me can love. I can have confidence in that life by the grace of God that I am a partaker of, that I am accepted in that beloved life, can grow up just as my Lord and Savior grew from a baby to a man, to the Lamb, praise God, ready to be offered. Do you realize the power that lives in you? No, we never will. But thanks the Lord that we can allow by his Spirit to grow up into all the fullness of it. Oh my goodness. It's mighty, brothers and sisters. And so beautiful is folks that don't know their Bibles that God allows you to share this with. They just sit there, where did you hear that? It's in your Bible. Really? Where? All over. This your love letter. Remember I told you I used to run to the mailbox to get mine. Every day. And I didn't read them just once. I memorized them. Man, she really likes me. Golly, she really loves me. Well, I'm finding out who the lover of my soul is. And I can't stop reading it. And it's not of me. It's this precious life that lives in us in Christ. It's so tremendous. See, that's why it's not, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. No. Yes, you can. Yes, I can do all things through Christ. He's right here. He's in here. Who strengthens me. Now, we grow up, brothers and sisters, in this. And praise the Lord, there's a place of ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne with him. See, he gives it. He just gives it. That's what he does. He's a giver. There's no earning here. He gives it and we take it. It's not because I wanted it or you wanted it. It's because he wanted it. Do you see that? He wanted it. This is his desire for me. And his grace gave me a vision to see it. And see, brothers and sisters, I believe that people really, they do go to church for the most part to please God. But why not please him in the most ultimate way you could please him? Why not give him all the praise and glory that you could possibly give to him? And you know how we do that is to take all that he has so freely given to us and run. And run with it. And praise the Lord all the benefits that the Lamb provided upon that cross. Amen? I've heard that story about many that said, oh, if I just get in there by the skin of my teeth, I'm going to be just satisfied. I don't want to think that I'm getting too piggish now. Let me tell you something. He's begging you, take it all. To rule and to reign jointly with Jesus Christ. You're an heir of God. The moment you're born again, you're an heir of God. But in Romans 8, it goes on to say, and a joint heir. That's what his plan is a joint heir. If so be that we will suffer together with him. And why? That we may also be glorified together with him. Son, it's not good for man to live alone. What an exciting plan. Jesus is going to have a wife someday. Jesus is going to have a bride someday. And all of heaven is going to be still. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And the wife hath made herself ready. She's His glory. Descending from heaven. Having the glory of God. And her light. And He's something, isn't He? Isn't your light something? Isn't your glory something? You understand that ain't a you. That's Christ in you. I don't know if we can absorb any more, but we'll pray we can. We've received the Spirit, praise the Lord, of His Son. Isn't that wonderful? The adoption of sons. I'm so thankful to God. See, He's the first fruits. He is the first. And praise God, He's brought many sons to glory. Now, this in the, let's see, we've been all over the Word of God tonight. That's a wonderful place to be. Let's get back here into Galatians. But here, in that sixth verse, it says that ye are sons, and God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The Spirit of His Son. This is not the Holy Spirit, a whole different part of the Godhead, but the Spirit, the life of His Son into our hearts. Brothers and sisters, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah. Yes. And every benefit, think of that. Christ liveth in me. That's why I'm a son. It's His life. I did not merit it. I did not earn it. It's only because of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, because of the life of Jesus Christ, every benefit of the relationship, the intimacy that that Jesus Christ has with the Father hath been imputed to me. It's given. I have that relationship. I have that acceptance. I have that wonderful opportunity of fellowship. There is no difference. I am accepted in the Beloved. Let's turn to Ephesians Chapter 1. And we'll close with this tonight. But in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I think we've rejoiced in that at least 4 or 5 times tonight. I pray we never quit. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let me tell you something. The Father loves to be pleasured. He's God. He's going to have it His way. And this is His way, and this is His pleasure, is His Son. And this is the pleasure of His will. And now, and it goes on here, to the praise of the glory of His grace. This whole plan, this purpose is praising His grace. It's all glory to His grace. What don't we want to get about and rejoice about that I am His workmanship. I'm created in Him. He's the potter. I'm the clay. It gives us such rest and peace and joy in believing. See, in believing. And that's what it is, that he's for you. He is so for you. He's not waiting there to crush you. He's not waiting there to slap you. He's just encouraging you all the time. Honey, I'm for you. Trust me. I've got fiery furnaces for you. I've got Red Seas parting for you. I've got lion's dens for you. I'm going to show you I'm the Lord thy God that healeth all your diseases. I'm going to show you that I am faithful and true. Not just someday. I've always been that way. That's who I am. Amen? Amen. So, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's so beyond. But this is the praise. This is the praise that he wants us to give him, is to praise him for the glory of his grace, that we have been accepted in the beloved, that we have entered into that place of one with him, that we have entered into that place beyond the veil, into the Holy of Holies. Praise God. We go boldly to the throne of grace. Enjoy it. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Now are we the sons of God. Amen. Now, do we get it? Why we call him Abba Father? Brother Ray so sweetly was dancing up here about 4 days ago, or I should say a week and a half ago. We're getting it. We're receiving it. Vessels to the praise of the glory of his grace. See, you don't hear Abba Father very much. You hear people say, Father. Well, they wrote that big I on the dollar bill. What do you think they're going to do? Father. No, we cry, Abba Father. And yes, that's my dad. And there's no disrespect in that. It's the greatest of love. I can't tell you how it ravishes this daddy's heart. Every time, every single time, I hear that precious, wonderful word, Dad. Even written, even in a text, is sometimes that's all I get anymore. Dad. Sons, not servants, brothers and sisters. Children act like servants. It's disrespectful, really, is what it comes down to, with what God provided us in the life of his son. He is so beyond, he's given everything. He is so all in us. He's invested everything in us. That to remain a child is disrespectful. It is. We need to grow up to the praise of the glory of his grace. We've got a dad who's wild and crazy about us, don't we? Let's stand and be dismissed.